This Easter Sunday audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Good News, was delivered on April 4th, 2021. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Dennis. Well, good morning, my family. Good morning. Oh, it's so nice to see all of you here this morning. Because sometimes it's hard to see you on Facebook because, you know, you can only see me, but I cannot see you. Because I know you probably in your pajamas on Sunday morning. And when I'm talking, you probably in the kitchen making breakfast and getting your coffee or you say, oh, I got to use the bathroom. Right? It's easy to do that when you're at home, yeah? But in church, kind of hard, yeah? Everybody going to be looking at you. Where are you going? Where are you going? Oh, but hey, I'd like to just share something. The other day I was working with Grant, and we were making some carpentry stuff. And you know, Grant, he loves God so much, and he wants to be like Jesus so much that he actually shot his hand with the nail gun just so he can say he has something in common with Jesus. I mean, talk about love, yeah? So yeah, look, he's holding up his hand now, so he bled over his woodwork, but I mean, thank you, Grant, for wanting so much to be like Jesus that you would shoot your hand with a nail gun so you can see I had a nail in my hand just like Jesus, because you know what? 10 years ago, I did that too, so don't worry, but it was so much fun hanging out with him. You know, have you ever had some good news that you just couldn't wait to share? Pastor Dennis, where you put that mic? Where did you put that mic? Oh, right here. Have you ever had some good news that you know, you just couldn't wait to share? I know last year, September, when my daughter had her baby, I wanted to tell the whole world, but I figured I better not, because I need to let my daughter be the first one to go and tell everybody and not steal that moment from her. So I had to shut my mouth, and that was kind of hard. And she never put anything on Facebook for, I don't know, like how many weeks or months, and it's like, man, I kind of want to tell everybody. But I couldn't, so I had to wait for her to do it. But, you know, a few months ago, we prayed for Genesis. Remember Genesis, James and Jen's daughter? And I want to ask Jen to come and I just dropped this on her this morning so she couldn't get nervous. And I asked her to come and share some good news. So you got to come into the camera. And
good morning. So in around December, we found out that Genesis had a tumor in her hip that was kind of questionable compared to all the other tumors that she has. We took her for a PET scan. On January 15th, we found out that the PET scan showed that she had cancer in her hip. And first of all, we wanted to thank everybody for praying for her. And prayers do work, because there's this new trial medication that they found that might work with her. So sorry, I have all the dates on my hand, so I can't. Palm, he just told me this morning. Pilot. My Palm Pilot, see? So January 15th, we found out that she did have cancer. It took about a month, but there was this medication that might help her. And, you know, we don't have a lot of money. We don't have a lot of money at all, and this medication wasn't covered by her medical. The medication costed $25,690 a month. And, you know, here we are thinking, okay, we can get like 3-4 more jobs, but we're never going to be able to see our kids. So that wasn't working. We prayed and prayed and prayed, and somehow or another, not through her medical, the whole thing is covered. Yeah. We don't have any payment. It gets shipped to us every month from a pharmacy in Kentucky. She started the medication on February 20th. few weeks later, they wanted to monitor her because it has so much side effects. They wanted to monitor her. So on March 11th, we flew her up for another PET scan to see how the medication was working. March 12th, we flew back that night. March 12th, I got a call first thing in the morning. Cancer is not lighting up anymore.
Yeah.
It's all gone. And whatever tumor, other tumors that she has that was not cancerous is also shrinking. So we're continuing to keep her on the medicine. And thank you for praying.
You know, such good news that I wanted you to hear it from her. I think the only people who might have known was the people who get texts from her. And Mike is always asking, so as soon as I got that good news, I had to share it with Mike, because Mike is always asking, how's Genesis? How's Genesis? And, you know, thanks to your prayers, God is so faithful. He's good, and she's getting better. Amen. So keep praying for her, all right? Whew, some good news to start off the day. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, you can open to the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 1. How many of you brought your Bibles? Well, nobody. You guys all the kind, yeah? You guys on your phone. Either you're texting or you're actually reading your Bible on your phone. Right? And I wouldn't know, but I know somebody who does. Better watch out. In Mark 16, starting in verse 1, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might come to anoint him very early on the first day of the week. That's like today, years ago. They came to the tomb, and when the sun had risen, they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" Okay, so if you don't know what a tomb is like, it's a hole, and on the bottom in the front there's like a trap, and there's a big stone that they move a rock away and it rolls into that trap and it falls and it blocks the tomb. So it's like you need to be like Kamehameha, who moved the rock to move that stone. So they're saying, who's gonna move that stone, because it was big. And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, although it was extremely large. So they must have been like, wow, yes, somebody moved it away from us. So these ladies, they purchased spices on Saturday in the evening after the Sabbath was over, because you couldn't do nothing from Friday evening to Saturday. That was considered the Sabbath. So after it ended, they purchased some spices. They went to the tomb early the next morning to anoint Jesus' body as a sign of love and devotion and respect. I guess back then, the culture was to do that, to bring spices to the tomb. It would be like us bringing flowers to the grave to pay respect or to visit your loved ones. And when they went, when you go to the grave, you know, what do you expect? You expect to see flowers all over, maybe some kind of old flowers that you put the other week. So you take that away and you put the new ones. But when they went to the tomb expecting the rock to be there, which it wasn't, expect the body of Jesus to be there, which again was like they expected something, but they got something else. You ever been there, expect something and then you get something else? Like when somebody calls me and say, I gotta talk to you, and oh, that's the worst you can do to me. Don't ever call me and say, I gotta talk to you tomorrow or next week. I gotta talk to you next Sunday. Because the enemy, he puts all kinds of thoughts in my head. And I was like, oh my gosh, what, are they leaving the church? Or what, did they shoot somebody and now they're going to tell me and confess? So now if the police ask me, I cannot lie. Right? So they went expecting something. But they got something else. They went to anoint Jesus' body, but instead of a dead body, all bloody, bruised, battered, they said he was beaten beyond recognition. Will you imagine that? Beyond recognition. And when they got there, what happened? They ran into an angel. And the angel told them, he is not here. And it's like, what do you mean he's not here? He was here yesterday. And he was dead. Where would he go? And then the angel said, he is risen like he said he would. So he was telling them all this time that what was going to happen. But they heard him, but they didn't listen. You get that problem with your spouse? Yeah? Yeah? They heard him, but they never listened. I think if you ask my wife, she'll say, I have that problem all the time. He hears me, but he doesn't listen. So, honey, forgive me. I said that on public and live, so forgive me. So we're good. He is risen like he said he would. Like he said he would. You know what's listening? Selective hearing. Look, the angel said, look and see the place where he was lying. Gone. They went to anoint a body, but there was no body. Wow. I would have been like, okay, who stole the body? I don't know, maybe, oh, somebody calling. God, hello? Something else you need me to say? So the angel said, he, Jesus, is going to meet you and these disciples in Galilee, so go tell them. So the thing is, why is the resurrection such good news? You know, from the beginning in the garden, when Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, mankind, us, we all descendants of them, because there was the two original humans on earth, when they ate of the fruit, and the Lord said that if you eat of this, you will surely die. Well, they ate the fruit, but they never like dropped dead. But spiritually, eternal separation from God. And that's where we were headed for. Death. That's what should be expected at the end of one's life. Death. But now, this is not the ordinary, but a very, very big deal. In Romans 6:23, tells us clearly that the wages of sin is death. So what Adam and Eve did in the garden was considered sin. How many of you work for a paycheck? How many of you sit down and just get a paycheck? Yeah, oh, some of you good, man. See, the guys who won't raise their hand, who just sit around and go find out what they did. Because they must have did something right. And if you're really young, go find out now. Yeah, because they were smart. I wasn't. I have to work till I die. But the wages, so when you work, you get a paycheck. When you sin, you get a paycheck, which is death. And that's what Adam and Eve did. They rebelled against God. And it was considered sin. And death came to all of us. Because we're descendants of Adam and Eve. We inherited death. Romans 5:12 tells us, therefore, just as through one man, you like how it says one man, yeah? Yeah? Men, right? Even though if Eve would eat first, one man, because it was our fault, because we never explained to her properly. We got the firsthand information from God, right? But we never communicate to Eve. But everybody said, oh, the woman. Like, even Adam said, was the woman you gave me. Wow, cracks right there. But just as the one man, get that right, because it doesn't say one woman. It says one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sin. So, you know, that's a big deal. But because of Jesus, because of what he did on Friday, Friday was, they call it Good Friday. And you think that's when Jesus was tortured beyond recognition and he died on the cross. And as a Christian, you're like, how can you call that good? You have anybody figured out why is it called Good Friday? I guess from the standpoint of God and Christians, that it's good because God provided a way back for us to get back to a right relationship with God through what Jesus Christ did. Amen? So number one, Jesus paid the price for us. He made it so that you and I can come back to God and we can have a connection to him. In 1 Peter 2:24, he himself, meaning Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. Christ died for our sins in our place so that you and I would not have to suffer the punishment we deserve. This is called substitutionary atonement. The good news is that you and I, we don't have to go to hell. Your family members don't have to go to hell. Your neighbors don't have to go to hell. Your classmates, your coworker, your friends don't have to go to hell. I mean, isn't that good news? Isn't that terrific? Like, every time I think of it, like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you. You know, if you're so grateful, I would just keep saying, thank you, Jesus. I don't know if he's saying enough already. You told me that once. You told me that twice. You told me that 10 times. But I'll keep saying because I'm grateful. Before I became a Christian, when people used to get me mad, I used to tell them, go to that place. Have you ever told somebody, go to, you know? You ever, Mick is the only honest one here. Seriously, the guy who cut you off in traffic this morning, you never tell him go to Hades or something like that, huh? Mick, you and I are the only honest guys. We're going to have to do a sermon on honesty. I mean, yeah, when I was on IQ, I used to say go to, because I really did not know what that place was really, really like. And when you read the Bible, it said, you know, hell is a place of total consciousness, eternal separation from the blessings of God. And if a person rejects God throughout his life, never submitting, never repenting, then the person will enter eternity after death without God. That's serious stuff. In Luke 16:23, it has a story. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. So Hades is a abode or the house of departed spirits. Torment, examination by torture. That's what I got from my concordance. Matthew 13:42. And will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus often uses these terms to refer to the coming judgment. The weeping indicates sorrow, remorse, and the gnashing of teeth shows extreme anxiety or pain. Those who say they don't care what happens to them after they die, they really don't realize what they're saying. They don't realize how bad hell would be. And they will be punished for living selfish and indifferent to God. And if you read about it, you wouldn't wish that on anybody. Nobody, not even the person you said go to thank to. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just a terrible, terrible place. In this story of this rich man who was in hell and Lazarus was in heaven, in their lifetime, this rich man, he didn't go to hell because he was rich. He just ignored God and all his blessings. He didn't help people out. And in the Bible it says, besides, there is a great chasm between us. So there's no going from here to there, there to here. Couldn't do that. So he was just being tormented in hell. And he asked Jesus, hey, go tell my father and my brothers. And Jesus said, they never listened to any of the prophets. Why would they listen to me? And he said, if you could just dip your finger in water, just put a drop on my tongue. That's how bad he was suffering. So, you know, hell is a real place. And because of what Jesus did, we don't have to go there. I don't think we was created to go there. So number two, how do I avoid hell? Does it say come to church? No. Does it say give of your money? No. Does it say sacrifice your kids? No. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So when Jesus spread out his arms and he died on the cross, like I said, the veil that blocked off the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple, the Holy of Holies where the priest could go only once a year, was torn from top to bottom. So that every one of us who knows Jesus Christ, we have a connection. We can go to him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So not through anything else, but through Jesus. You know, we were reading in Judges, and you're reading about this Levite who took his mother's 500 pieces of silver. Who cracks, yeah? You ever stole from your parents? I see other young ones smiling. So he took and he made an idol to worship. It's like, seriously? Seriously? Out of one piece of silver, you made something that you're going to worship and pray to? Come on. Really? How many of you, like, you know, get your car and you put your head on the hood? It's like, oh, my baby. Oh, I love you. Yeah. Nobody. Not even those of you who have one Tesla. Yeah? Yeah. Or your Camaro, huh? Yeah, no work, right? And then when your kid is sick, you go to your car, oh, please heal my baby. I mean, all the things happened and he still made an idol to worship. It's like, sometimes I don't get it. But sometimes I do, because you ever, like, put something before God? You ever get up in the morning and before your devotions, you go do some other stuff, and then when you feel like it, you get time, then you go give God some time. Guilty. If I go to my office and I don't stop and open my Bible first and I turn on my computer first, that's it. I will just work and straight into studying and doing stuff. And then my devotions will come later on. So that's guilty. I do that. But, you know, this is one of the most important and basic passages in Scripture. How can we know the way to God? And that's only through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, because he's God and he's man. By uniting our lives with his, we are united with God. We need to trust Jesus to take us to the Father. That's why when we pray in Jesus' name. And all the benefits of being God's children will be yours and mine. Heaven, only through Jesus Christ, not through anybody else. Acts 3:19, therefore, repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You know, the apostles' message of salvation included the call to repent. You know, we cannot say yes to Jesus, I accept you as Lord and Savior, and continue living a life that doesn't reflect the transformation that happens. You know, as we acknowledge personal sin and return from it, that's why we do baptism. People want to repent and get baptized. Many of us, we want the benefits of being identified with Christ without admitting our own disobedience and repentance. The key to the forgiveness is for us to confess your sins and turn from it. Right? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So, each of you here, you have the good news of what Jesus Christ did. You just heard it. Those of you out there on Facebook, you have this good news. And this good news cures death. Did you know that? That you know that if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and even if you prayed and God never healed you of cancer, you're still cured, because when you die, you go to heaven. So you have this good news that cures death, cures sickness, cures COVID-19, cures poverty, anxiety, the news that brings hope and life and abundance. So now, number three, what will you do with this good news? You know, we could have the good news of Genesis and just put it in our pocket, zip our mouth. But when we share it, people get encouraged and God gets glorified. Because it wasn't by Jennifer or James that she got healed. It wasn't by me. It was by God and our prayers and the faith. Isn't her middle name Faith? Yeah. See? So what will you do with the good news? Because you have the good news that will cure everything. Now, is it right for us to, like, put it in our back pocket and keep it to ourselves when somebody else out there is dying? I don't think that's right. I think when you and I, when we say yes to Jesus Christ and we accept him as our Lord and Savior, then I think you and I have this burden or this responsibility. How many of you like that word, responsibility? How many of you run from responsibility? Yeah? How many of you run from responsible eating? You know, there's a whole bunch of you. When I offered you candy when you came in, you did not take it. And I think, oh, you guys are so good. I didn't take any because I ate it before you guys got here. Right, Vivian? Yeah, oh, bad. You know, you have the good news. What are you going to do with it? Have anybody seen the movie Saving Private Ryan? It's a brutal movie, yeah? Remember at the end when they were trying to defend that bridge and there were American soldiers all over the place. Bullets were flying and the Germans was coming and this one guy had rounds and rounds of ammo around his neck. And he was so frightened that he stood behind a wall just because of all the bullets. And right above him was his fellow soldier fighting with a German guy. He had the tools to help this guy. But his fear kept him paralyzed. And then at the German guy just stuck a knife in this American. It's like, oh, I got so mad. Like, come on, help him. You know, he had all these bullets. Everybody's running out of bullets. But he had rounds and rounds of bullets around his neck. And I think he like, I get mad, but I probably would have been the same way. Check it out. But it was like, was so sad because he had the tools to help save lives. But he didn't use them. You have the tools to save lives. You really do. And I tell you what, if you ever, ever led someone to Jesus, oh my gosh, I think there is no better feeling than praying that sinner's prayer with someone. Because it may not be much to you, but you think about it. Who will be in heaven because of you? Or who will be in hell because of you? Ouch. I'm sure there will be because some people just didn't want to listen to me and I try my best, but you know, you have the solution. You have the hope that people need this Easter, and not only Easter, not only Resurrection Sunday, but the rest of your life. Don't let fear paralyze you from saving a life. It's like when I see a spider, oh, paralyzed. I mean, I'm frozen. You know the cane spiders? I'm paralyzed. It's like Carlin, she wanted to cut some ferns to put with the flowers. She said, oh, there's too much lizards out there. Jen, she sees a lizard, oh, paralyzed. Don't let fear stop you from sharing Jesus with the world. I'm going to close with this. In Mark 16:15, Jesus said to them, go. If you have your bulletin, underline that word go. Circle it. Make asterisks around it. And if you don't understand the definition of go, then go look it up. And he said to them, Jesus said to them, go. Not to the bathroom, okay? Go into all the world. How am I supposed to go into all the world? Hey, internet man, you can go into the world now. Preach the gospel to all creation. So you gotta go into all the world and to all creation. That is our responsibility. Okay, so doesn't tell us that we gotta force them, we gotta save them. Hey, we just gotta go and preach. It's up to them, once they hear the good news, to respond. Granted, you got to do your very best job in preaching the gospel. Because if you go up to some stranger on the street and pull his ear and say, hey, you better repent, turn or burn. They're going to look at you, get out of here. Right? Do you? And, you know, sometimes you don't have to say anything. You just got to live the example. And they'll see it in you. Amen? Amen. I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask if anybody here needs to confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you to pray with me so that you can avoid hell and get into heaven. The prayer goes like this. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and the eyes closed, if anybody prayed that prayer here, would you hold up a hand? Hey, God bless you over there. God bless you. God bless you over there. Anybody else? Bless you way back there. Anybody else? No shame now. No, anybody else? You may put your hands on. Lord, thank you for those who said yes. And Lord, I pray that they would gain an understanding of the relationship with you. For the Bible says, when one does not understand, the enemy comes and takes it away. So I pray that you would use New Hope East Hawaii, use one of the brothers and sisters to help them in their new walk with Jesus Christ. We thank you so much that we get to worship you. Again, Lord, please protect each and every one of us from COVID-19. Let not the church be the cause or the spread of this virus, but let us be the spread of hope and love to all. We thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Are you guys ready? We're going to take communion. So if you didn't get your communion cups, grab one. For those of you who said yes to Jesus, there is a yes booklet on that table. Please take one. It's free. And that it'll help you in your walk with Christ. Anybody need a communion cup? Anybody need one? Everybody got one? Anybody ate theirs already? Okay.
All right, guys, so every night in our house, we gather around the table for dinner, and no matter how busy our lives get, we try our very best to make it a point to come to the table and appreciate the blessing of each other. Last night, my husband checked the Dropbox at around 11:30 for the color of today. We saw that he and I were slated for communion this morning. My heart jumped into my throat, and I tried to think of any excuse to get out of it. I'm not going to lie. I was super unprepared, to say the least. James fell asleep studying God's word, and I stayed up sewing and studying. I reflected on our gathering at dinner that last night, and I replayed it in my mind, and I started to think of Jesus and how he felt that night as he dined with the disciples. He knew what was going to happen, and he pressed forward anyway. So who was I to back out of the honor of sharing communion with you because I wasn't ready? So shame, yeah. So I sat there at my sewing desk last night, obviously no longer sewing, and went back to thinking about our dinner table.
Thank you.
Just as we all are, all of us, so were the disciples, different from each other in every way possible. But you see, God created us all. He created all of us unique and wonderful and different from each other. The one thing that we all have in common is him. Just as we seat ourselves at our dinner tables, he calls us to his table every single moment of every single day. You don't have to look, feel, dress, or even speak a certain way. He just wants you to come exactly as you are, not because you need to, but because you may, which is the reason why I never forget fulfilling my eyebrows this morning. I did it on purpose. This morning, we ask you to join us at his table to partake in communion. Christ, who was born in a manger, baptized in the Jordan, And the same Christ who calmed the seas during the storms in Galilee, Christ who fed us with loaves of bread and fish, and who continues to love us, heal us, and grow us, and who will never leave or forsake us, invites you to join him at his table and partake. On the night that Jesus died, he took the bread, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take, eat in remembrance of me." You can take of the bread. In the same manner, he took a cup of wine and said, "This represents my blood poured out for you. Do this also in remembrance of me." You can take of the cup.
All right, everybody, let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this awesome day. Thank you for the breath of life you bless us with, for everything that we have from you. You know just what we need. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, the living sacrifice that he died for our sins. Father, I pray that you continue to soften our hearts and just give us the wisdom to follow you. Thank you for your word that you've blessed us with. And we just give you all the praise and glory in your Son's mighty, loving, saving name, Jesus. And we all say amen.
Amen. Thank you, James and Jennifer. What a guy, he make his wife do all the talking. I should learn from that. I bet all of you would love to see my wife up here, yeah? I'm going to get licking when I go home. Woo. So would you stand? And as you sing, just think about Jesus who was risen from the grave. He no longer lay dead, but he is alive. And because of that, sing like we have the hope of the world because of what was done. Amen?
Amen.
Take it away, worship team.
Celebrate.
Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kau, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we're recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.